As we move into exploring our theme for today, we have our Bible reading, but actually it's a really short reading which is going to shape everything we're doing together this morning. So I'm going to read it for you, and it's taken from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. I do hope that you are sitting comfortably, he said, recounting Jack and Ori from when he was young. I'm going to tell you a story which will help us to think a little bit more about this idea of us running the race and trying to follow Jesus. So we are going to have a look at this story about Bolt and the Ratchet Race. And for bonus theological interpretation points, try and see where in this story you can find the reading from Hebrews. Meet Bolt. Bolt is a top-of-the-line racing robot, a blue-line orientation linear transporter 9000C, or Bolt to his friends. He races in the Ratchet Race series, which is a special race where robots not only have to get to the finish line first, but have to overcome a series of challenges. Now, the best ever racing robot, Bolt's hero was Helios. He won the first ever Ratchet Race, the race that every robot since wants to copy. The race was so tough, but Helios overcame all of it. Even though at one point he was turned into scrap, but Helios shut himself down, rebooted, and won the race. Now, Bolt has a secret weapon to get over the finish line. He can connect to the cloud. The cloud is an online system which allows robots to look back at how other robots have tackled the different challenges that exist in the Ratchet Race. By logging onto the system, they can see what they need to do in case the race gets difficult. They can see what Helios or any of the other racing robots did in the past. Bolt waited on the start line for the Ratchet Race to begin. 3, 2, 1, go! The green go light shone and Bolt was on his way. He quickly got up to speed and darted round the first few corners. They led into the first challenge, the Mirror Maze. Now, the Mirror Maze had been part of the Ratchet Race for as long as anyone could remember. Helios had got through it in record time, of course. The Mirror Maze was designed to tempt robots away from the path that they should be following. As soon as Bolt knew that this was the challenge he faced, he logged into the cloud. In moments, Bolt had brought up a map of the route that Helios had taken through the maze. The cloud showed him just what he was supposed to do. Left, right, left, right, and then right again. With no wrong turns and a time just slightly slower than Helios, Bolt had made it through. Bolt was in third place as he ran through the next few corners. He was doing well. He just needed to keep on going. But the next challenge was a crowd favourite, the Pit of Despair. Here, robots had two choices. They could either take a very long route around the edge of the pit or find a way through it. Bolt logged back into the cloud. It seemed that robots had taken both options. The Rock, a robot who always did the first thing that he'd thought of, had taken the long route round. It was easy, but slow. The Rock had lost a lot of time going that way. But Paulus, a robot from Tarsus, had used an electricity cable that went across the pit to get across it. It was dangerous, but it was a lot faster. Bolt decided that he ought to follow Paulus's route. He knew he had to make some changes to do it, though. He took off two of his wheels and attached them to his hands, and this meant that he could roll across the wire rather than having to swing along it. With his wheels in place, Bolt was soon crossing the pit of despair. He even managed to sneak ahead of the robot in second place, who'd chosen to take the long route around the edge. Bolt was doing well. But after a few more corners and holding on to second place, Bolt reached the last obstacle, the field of thistles. The next part of the course was a mess of wires and thorns, knotted and forever tangling themselves around the races. Every time Bolt tried to push through the mess, his wheels got stuck, and the more he struggled, the more he got stuck. But Bolt remembered the cloud and logged on to see what he should do. The field of thistles was a new obstacle this year, so he couldn't just copy what the other robots had done. Bolt would have to be cleverer. He would have to use his skills wisely. But Bolt did manage to find one video of Helios talking about how to be a good racer. "If it holds you back, get rid of it. Push on and persevere," he said. Well, it was definitely his wheels in his body that was causing him trouble. It was stopping him from getting across the field. It was getting up and caught in all the wires and thorns. Bolt was going to have to try something radical. He unhooked his arms from his body, took off his head and fixed them together. And his arms now worked as narrow legs with his hands forming his feet. Bolt looked very funny and wasn't going to be nearly as fast as he was with his wheels on, but he might just do it. With his new legs, Bolt managed to get across the field of thistles just as he was about to leave. He saw the robot who'd been in first place caught up in the thorns. Bolt had taken the lead. Bolt ran around the last few corners until he could hear the crowd. They were chanting his name, and then he saw it, the finish line. Bolt ran across it, and he had won the race. He had won the ratchet race. In the mirror maze, Bolt had looked to Helios to see how he had done it, the pioneer of the race. In the pit of despair, he had copied Paulus, using the cloud to see how to do it. And in the field of thistles, he had thrown off everything that held him back. He had persevered and had won the prize. Then it was time for Bolt to claim the prize. The ratchet cup was passed to him by Helios himself. Bolt was so proud at how he had won the race. He wondered in the future if any other robots would look at how he had won and saw what he had done when they looked to the cloud. Bolt, the latest winner of the ratchet race. That sounded pretty good. For the next part of our service, you have a choice of how you could spend your time. We're going to have a little talk from the front, thinking about the Hebrews reading and how that works out in our lives. But if you've enjoyed the story of Bolt and you want to do a little bit of craft and colouring in, you would be very welcome to do that. And at the back table, there are some little pictures you can make and pretend you are Bolt logging into the cloud for different parts of it. You can do whichever you fancy. So have a look at me, have a look at Nathan holding up the drawing and see who you think might be the most fun for the next few minutes. And we are going to think about God giving us the strength to be Christians. So shall we pray together? Father God, we thank you that you do surround us with a great cloud of witnesses to inspire us, to equip us, and to help us as we seek to follow Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that you will be with us now as we talk about the strength it takes to follow him and live our lives for your glory. And we ask your wisdom and guidance upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it." If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. I don't think Jesus was cut out to be a salesman or a politician. He was just too honest, too unafraid to name the problem. Being a Christian is actually hard. It's costly to us when we try and do the right thing. It sets us at odds with the world, makes demands on our lifestyle choices, and rather than seeking the rewards and glory for ourselves, we're supposed to offer that to God. I've had conversations with people where they've told me that the cost of following Jesus has just been too high. Being a Christian seems hard. I'm not sure that I could do that. Perhaps that's why some churches are closing, and eagle-eyed property developers are looking for opportunities. It is always sad when churches close, but I do have a favourite redeveloped church. It is the former Central Methodist Church on Uttoxeter Road in Mere, which is in Stoke-on-Trent, and this is what it looks like today. You drive past it on the A50, and if you look carefully, the sign on the front of it has the name of the redeveloped building. It's now a gym, and it has been has been named Give Me Strength. Now, I love that this is in equal measure a pun to both its present and previous life. But in naming it, the people who've renamed this gym offer us a picture of what God gives to us. If following Jesus is hard, then what has God done for us? He gives us the strength to be Christians. So what does God give to us that we might follow Jesus? God strengthens us in three major ways: through gift, the Spirit, and the church. First of all, God strengthens us with a gift. Following Jesus, even though it is hard, is its own reward. As we choose to do that, we have the gift of being known and loved by God, of receiving the gift of eternal life, having our sins forgiven, and getting to go to heaven. We find peace as we spend time in God's presence, and God gives us the things that we need. God gives us a framework to live our lives, as we know the purpose of why we were made by Him. That's not even an exhaustive list of all the benefits and gifts that we get as we choose to follow Jesus. But I hope it's enough to demonstrate that there are significant upsides to saying yes and choosing to follow Jesus in our lives. Following Jesus is its own reward. And it is something that we could spend a whole sermon series talking about. But I want to cover it very succinctly. Secondly, God gives us strength through the Holy Spirit. Again, like the gift of God, there are a whole variety of different ways in which this can happen. There are the gifts of the Spirit to equip us as we serve God, the fruit of the Spirit which bear witness to our growing righteousness. There is the presence of the Spirit which brings us peace and transforms the world around us. All we need to do is literally ask God to strengthen us by the power of the Spirit. And Paul shows us what that might look like in Ephesians. He says this: I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That strength comes to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit to support us in our day-to-day life, and it is a wonderful thing to have. But for those who are just starting out in faith, there is a risk that that support feels distant, that they may not understand the gifts that faith brings. They might not have the confidence to pray that prayer and ask the Holy Spirit for strength. So there is something else that God gives to strengthen us. God gives us one another. God gives us the gift of the church to strengthen us. Now, I know that you already know this, but it's really important to say that the strength we receive from the church is not through the gift of a beautiful building, although that can help some people, Rather, it is through the people of God themselves. I know we hate doing it because we're polite, middle-class British people, and many of us are introverts, but can I invite you just to please look around the room this morning? Look around the room at your sisters and brothers in Christ. I can tell you from being able to look at you lots from the front of the church, you are a beautiful group of people, a wonderful group of people, and it is a joy for us to be with one another this morning. The task of us being here together is that we are able to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, and to help one another keep going as we seek to follow Jesus. In the Bible reading that we heard from Hebrews, the picture the author offers is that keeping the faith is like running a race, that we press on to the goal together. Now, I don't know how much experience you have of running long distances, or indeed running in races generally. It might be that the most recent race you have run was the obstacle course at primary school, and it seems quite a distant memory to you. But let me tell you that running is an activity much more easily done with other people. You see, if you want to join in a race like this, and for the benefit of those who are in any doubt, if I'm running a race, I definitely look like the people on the screen and not some miles back puffing slightly. When you train for races, you do it alone. Running is hard. And it's always more difficult when you're on your own, because you have to keep yourself going. You have to carry your own supplies of food and water. You have to know where you're going. I have ended up in more than one river while being out running, but that is a different story and akin to my incompetence at navigation. In comparison, if you turn up to an organized race like this one, then there are lots of people there at the race alongside you. You no longer have to carry all the water and food you will need on the journey, because you will be given food and water along the route. And for those who helped when the marathon came outside, total strangers will turn up with sweets and water and assistance and encouragement to help you on your way. You no longer have to motivate yourself as much, because there are people who will cheer you on from the sides of the road. You no longer have to work out where you're going, which is a good thing for me, because the other runners and the signposts on the route keep you on the right track. The difference between training and race day is enormous, because suddenly you realize on that day that you're not alone. When we choose to be part of the church, we realize that we are not trying to run the race of faith alone either, but we are doing it with our sisters and brothers in Christ. We learn about the faith from other Christians. We receive care and love from other Christians. We receive companionship and encouragement from other Christians. And each of these things are essential so that we can be strengthened to follow Jesus for the whole of our lives. I'm aware that it can be very easy to be dismissive of the church, to see its faults rather than its treasures, to see the division rather than the fellowship. But Jesus called us to live together in our faith, to walk with one another and support one another. When faced with the challenge of how hard being a Christian can be, we must remember that Jesus never called us to face that challenge alone, but to face it within the fellowship of the church. When we try and share our faith with other people, and they notice that following Jesus is costly, we must hold open in our minds that Jesus might just have put us alongside that person with the express task of supporting them, or at the very least helping them to find support from others. We might feel nervous that we don't have the answers to give to them. But the honesty of naming that situation is important. You see, being part of the church and supporting one another is not about having all of the answers, but being willing to go on a journey together with another person, to encounter Jesus together, and to see where Jesus will lead us together. Where one person may bring wisdom and knowledge, another will bring care and compassion, and yet another laughter and friendship. We are not called to be all things to all people. Rather, we are called to be the people of God together, striving to support one another and help one another to run the race well. Together, our weaknesses are supported and our skills and gifts are used for the benefit of everyone. So when you find faith difficult, remember that God strengthens you for the task of following Jesus. He gives you the gift of following Jesus and all of the rewards that that brings. He gives you the Holy Spirit to equip you, strengthen you, and help you to grow on your journey of faith. But he calls you not to journey alone, but to journey within the great gift of the people of God, the church. Shall we pray? Father God, from the depths of my soul, I give you thanks for the men and women of faith who have shaped my journey in following you, without whom I would not be standing here today. And Lord, I give thanks for every person here in this church this morning, for everyone who is with us online, for all those who are part of this community of faith and might not be here with us this morning, but call St. Luke's their church. Lord, we thank you that they have a sense of belonging to us as we belong to one another. Send your Holy Spirit upon us now to bind us together as the people of God. Help us to recognize that our church this morning would not be the same if even one person who has come through the doors this morning was not here. So Lord, we thank you for the precious gift of one another. We pray that in this fellowship you would strengthen us for the journey of faith, that we might live our lives in step with Jesus, seeing his kingdom grow and being equipped with the gifts that your Holy Spirit will bring to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to use those gifts generously in this community, that we might love one another, serve one another, and share the good news of Jesus with a community and people who are in desperate need of hearing it for themselves. Lord, put people on our hearts now who you want to be part of this community of faith. Those who already know you and follow you, those who do not yet know you and do not know the joy and gift of following you. Lord, we pray that you would use us in our daily lives to run the race for your glory and to draw those people into this fellowship, that it may be made more complete by them being part of it, and that by them joining us, we will better be able to serve you and see your kingdom grow. We ask all of this for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.